the strife, for those he came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die. Crown him the Lord of heaven, one with the Father known, one with the Spirit, through him given from yonder glorious throne. To thee be endless praise, for thou for us hast died. Adorn and magnify. You know, he is everlasting. He is faithful. He is unchanging. Upon him we can depend. So let's sing together, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. Praise my soul, the King of Heaven, to his feet your tribute bring. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, evermore his praises sing. Alleluia, alleluia, praise the everlasting King. Alleluia, alleluia, praise the everlasting King. Praise him for his grace and favor to our fathers in distress. In his hands, same forever, slow to chide and swift to bless. Alleluia, alleluia, widely yet his mercy. Alleluia, alleluia, glorious in his faithfulness. Frail as summer's flower we flourish, blows the wind and it is gone. But why mortals rise and perish, God endures unchanging on. Alleluia, alleluia, praise the high eternal one. Alleluia, alleluia, praise the high eternal one. Angels in the heights adore him, ye behold him face to face. Saints triumphant bow before him, gathered in from every race. Alleluia, alleluia, praise with us the God of grace. Alleluia, alleluia, praise with us the God of grace. Let's take a moment right now to go to Lord in the prayer together. Unchanging and faithful God, we offer our praises to you today as we gather together, as you tell us we should, this glorious morning. We thank you for the wonders that you show us each and every day. We come to you this morning broken and in need of grace. We confess that we are sinners, but we know that our ransom has been paid in full by your Son. We thank you for pouring out your grace to us and want to respond by following your holy word. May your words and your teachings take root deep in us this day. We are frail and we rise and perish, but you are forever and unchanging. We know that in every storm, in every tempest, our foundation is true and our anchor will hold because we choose to follow your commands. Please help us to reach out to those around us who are standing on sinking sand and share the firm foundation that can be found in hearing and obeying your words. Your promise is that you are our God and will give us aid when we face trials, and you always keep your promises. We know we can count on you. So may we encourage each other toward the righteousness of Christ and be an example of how strong a relationship built on Christ can be. We declare that we will stand through all the rains, the floods, the winds, because we have chosen to hear your words and to do them. Bless your church, bless our church this day, and multiply the numbers of those who might be saved by accepting your great gift. Strengthen those who are struggling by encouraging them with today's message. We thank you again, God, for planting your words in our hearts, and we ask that your will be done and that all the glory goes to you. We pray these things this morning in the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So let's now, we do have such a great firm foundation in our God. So what we need to build, when we build our lives on the teachings of Christ, we surely are on a solid rock. So let's sing together The Solid Rock. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, fall blessed to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Before we sing this last song, just want to reflect again that we have his word, and really, when we have his word, what more do we need than what we hear from him in the Bible? Nothing. He said everything we need to hear through his word. He will strengthen us through that very word if we decide to hear and apply it to our lives. So let's be encouraged by the promise that he gives us as we sing, How Firm a Foundation. Foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he?
say than to you he has said. Us have fled. Fear not, I am with you. Oh, be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will still give you aid. I'll strengthen you, help you, and cause you to stand upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. When through fiery trials your pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be your supply. The flame shall not hurt you. I only design your dross to consume and your gold to refine. The soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, I will not desert to its foes. That soul through all hell should endeavor to shake. I'll never, no, never, no,
well, now let's turn to Matthew 7. We're going to start in verse 24, and let's hear the voice of our Lord and his teachings this morning. Pastor?
Amen. Thank you, Lee. All right. Good to see each of you out here this morning, and it's nice to have a little extra shade up here today. If you remember from last week, you probably don't, but I remember because I'm standing here, so I like to have some extra shade. We've come to the end of the Sermon on the Mount today, and we've spent the better part of this year going through Jesus' words, and the message today really drives home the importance of us hearing God's words. So let's listen, follow along with me in your Bible if you have it, or the handout if you don't, from Matthew 7, verse 24, down through the end of the chapter. The scripture says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer today. Dear Father, we are so glad to be able to gather together, even outdoors, to worship you today and to sing your praises. And Lord, we know this is nothing new. Your people have gathered outside to worship you for millennia. And it is a blessing to be able to continue that tradition today. And Lord, we just praise you for your word. We praise you for this message that you've given us from Jesus, this Sermon on the Mount. And we pray, dear Father, that you might help us not to miss this final warning, this final admonition from Jesus. But Lord, we pray that you would help us to hear your words and to do them. God, we pray for those who are suffering right now in our congregation, and we ask for you to help them. Lord, we pray that you would comfort those who are grieving. We pray you'd comfort those who are battling this illness. God, we pray for our nation, and we ask you, Lord, to send a revival to our land. We need more than good politicians, Lord. We need the Spirit of God moving in hearts to turn them towards you, to guide them in the truth. And so, Lord, we pray that you might send a revival into our land. Lord, we pray that you would even start it in our hearts and in our lives, that we would be eager to shape our thinking and shape our lives by your truth. And God, we beg you to help and work in our lives today. Lord, we pray for our other brothers and sisters that are gathering in all sorts of different circumstances today in other churches. And we pray that you'd bless those that are preaching the word, and that you might use them greatly to strengthen your people and further your kingdom. And God, we just ask now again that you would speak to us directly from your word, that these words of Jesus would not just pass before our hearing, but they would sink into our hearts. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I've entitled the sermon today, Be Different, Be Blessed. And you're like, wait a minute, I've heard that before. Well, I hope so, because it's been on the bulletin and it was on the sign outside for months. And it may have been there so long that it's something you just look past and don't even notice. But remember how the sermon started out? It started out talking about the blessed man, who he was, what he was like. And then it has led us to see that the blessed man is really different than the world around him. The one who listens to Jesus' words is going to end up being radically different from the world around him. And I think as we look at the world around us, we realize the world needs something different than what it's got going on right now. It needs Christians who know Jesus' words and are eager to follow them, willing to follow them. And the path to being blessed is to be different from the world, not just for the sake of being different, but because we are doing exactly what this message calls us to do, to hear and obey Jesus' words. So we want to come back to this idea of being different and being blessed. The Sermon on the Mount, after all, is not a sermon that Jesus gave to be admired. He didn't give this sermon so that the whole world could say, oh, wow, the Sermon on the Mount, that's something. Just like I'm not standing up here preaching so that at the end of our service, you'll say, man, that was such an amazing sermon. That guy really knows how to communicate. Well, I don't know if you'll say that or not, but the goal is not to have anyone be impressed with the message. The goal is to have people changed by the message. And so if you read through the Sermon on the Mount and you just say, oh, that's really nice. Man, it'd be really great if the world was like that. What if people really did love their enemies? What if people weren't marked by their selfish desires? Man, that'd be great. Yeah, we should do that. Jesus isn't saying, oh, this is a wonderful ideal for you to admire. No, each of these lessons from Jesus is something for you to do. And he drives that home here with this final message. And give me a second here. All right. This section illustrates really the conclusion that Jesus has been going through all along. And if you have your Bible with you today, we're going to be looking back a little bit as we go through this sermon. If you want to look at it on your phone or something like that, you can do it. But starting back in verse 13, Jesus began the conclusion of this message. And he was driving home that there are only two options. There are only two options. Remember, he talked about the two ways. He said there was a narrow way, there was a broad way. There was one that led to destruction and one that led to life. So the obvious warning is choose the right way. And then in verse 15 and down through verse number 20, he talks about two different kinds of fruits that are really produced by two different kinds of trees. And there is a warning about false teachers that's there. And so the message is, watch out. There are two types of teachers that are guiding you on the right way and the wrong way. Be careful that you listen to the right ones. And of course, Jesus is setting himself up, obviously, as the right teacher that's going to lead us to God. And then he goes on in verse 21 through 23, there's two different claims. There's one who claims to know the Lord, but he says they don't know him. And then there's others that are accepted into his presence. And now in this last passage, we come to two different builders. If you notice in each one of them, there is a focus on eternity. There's the importance to make the right choice between two because eternity is at stake. There is an eternal judgment that Jesus warns about. So it's so vital. It's so vital that we understand there are really only two options. And that's what Jesus is driving at and driving at and driving at in this message. You can either listen to him or you will face eternal judgment. Because ultimately his voice is the narrow way. His cross is the only way to God. His message is the only way we can know the truth. So he calls us and he confronts us with this. Those that say Christianity is like every other religion don't really understand what Jesus is saying here. He's making a very exclusive claim. And really from this story, it's a pretty simple story, and it's very vivid and clear, which is why Jesus used it here. So if you're not familiar with it, he says there's two people that are building a house. And everything that you read in the story seems like the houses are identical. There's nothing to distinguish them, like one's a big house, one's a little house. It just says the two of them build houses. And from the outside, the house looks good. I'm sure the people were living in their houses, enjoying the houses. But then came the time of trouble. And when the floods came, the house that was built on the sand, well, you know what happened to that. That's pretty predictable, isn't it? If you've ever built a sandcastle at the beach, it looks so great and so impressive. And then the tiniest wave hits it and you just have mush. And all of that work and all that beauty that you had, it was so impressive. But then it's washed away in a moment. You don't want your life to be like that. And that's what Jesus is warning here. Look, if you don't hear and do what I'm saying, then this will be your end. A pile of mush. Actually, it's far worse than that. Jesus describes eternal judgment over and over and over in his word as a place of fire and torment, a place of darkness, a place where their worm dies not. He gives all sorts of vivid descriptions of a terrible eternal judgment. So what does the blessed man look like? Well, Jesus gives us two things here. They're super simple. And try not to just say, oh, I already knew that. Why did I even come today? All right, they're super simple. But I find that my problems are often not things I don't understand. They're the things that I do understand, right? There's a lot in the Bible that even though I devote myself to study it, that I don't understand every detail of everything that's going on. But my problem isn't that. My problem is the things I do understand that tell me what to do and tell me to change and tell me to love when it's hard or tell me to forgive when I don't want to. Those are the kind of things that get me. So what Jesus is telling us very simply, two things about the blessed person. The blessed person listens is the first one. He listens. Just last night, we had our faithful men's meeting, and we were going through a chapter of a book that was talking about friendship. And it said, one thing a friend does is a friend listens. And it gave several examples from the scripture. And isn't that true? Don't you love it when someone listens to you? We've all had the feeling of talking to someone and knowing they're not even listening. You know, they're looking off to the side. Maybe it's because they don't really care about what you're saying, or maybe they're just distracted with a whole lot of other things. But when you sit down and you just talk with someone and they're engaged with you and they listen to you, and it makes you feel so good. If we are going to be wise, if we are going to be blessed people, we need to cultivate listening. I'm not talking about listening to your friends in conversations. That's obviously good and important to listen to one another. I'm talking about listening to Jesus' words. Listening to Jesus' words. And I got some competition over here in the corner for attention. I don't know if I can fly around and do tricks like that thing can. But hopefully it won't carry anybody off. If it does, somebody can go and rescue them. The blessed person... Isn't it funny, right? When I'm talking about listening, it's hard to listen because of something that's happening. That's the way it goes. All right. So I think we got rid of the bug now. So now we can listen again. How about that? I when I'm talking about listening here, I'm not trying to give you like relational self-help on how to have a better relationship with your wife or your friends or your coworkers. Listening obviously is really important for that. What we're talking about is listening to Jesus' words. Jesus makes it so clear that if you are going to be blessed, you must listen to his words. So obviously right now you're like, check that box. I'm here. I'm listening. I'm doing a good job. I'm on the right path. And I would say, yes, listening certainly includes coming together and hearing the preaching of the word. That's what Jesus' first followers were doing. Even right as he's saying these words, they're outside listening to him preach a sermon. And I'm pretty sure they didn't have pop-ups for shade or chairs to sit in. So you are doubly blessed compared to them. They're listening to his words. They want to hear what he has to say. We are so blessed today to be able to have the Bible in our hands, in our pockets, on our shelves at home, to have so many copies of it. We have so many opportunities to listen to Jesus. So listen, I know you've got a Bible. If you don't have one, let me know. We will give you one today and you can leave with one. But Jesus says, are you listening? So ask yourself, how much have I listened to Jesus' words this week? I mean, if we're coming to the whole point of this sermon and Jesus says these are the vital things you have to do, then you have to ask yourself, have I listened to his words this week? A lot of times the things that we hear really influence us a lot. And so it's important that we listen to the right things and we listen to good things. If you get someone at your workplace that is spreading lies and is telling you all kinds of stuff just to stir up trouble, then it's important that you realize that and you stop listening to that. If you find that someone is always misleading you or they're trying to trick you, well, it's obviously important to find that out and listen to it, because the things that we hear are things that influence us. They shape our thinking. Our friends, the things that they care about, they become things that we care about because of their influence on us. Even the kind of things we watch on television or we listen to in music, all of those messages have an influence on us. I can't even imagine what it would be like if we took one of these original hearers of Jesus' message. We just took him off the mountain listening to Jesus and we brought him into our modern world and we handed him a smartphone and we turned on the TV and we turned on the radio and there were voices all around them. what kind of chaos would that bring to them? And yeah, that's right where we're at every day. We have all these voices, all these influences, and Jesus is standing here saying, look, there's one voice that really matters. Listen to me. Listen to me. So of all the things that have filled your time and filled your heart this week, what about Jesus' words? What place have they had? This isn't all there is to being blessed by God, but you've got to have this. You know, there's more to living the Christian life than just hearing sermons and reading the Bible, but there's not less than that. If you really want to be like Christ, then you've got to listen to Him. I mean, we see it with young people especially, that the kind of friends they get around, they quickly become like. They become influenced so easily. You know, there's the old saying that kids are like wet cement. You know, you can make deep impressions on them easily. And we see that. But as adults, and kids obviously, they're here too, you need to listen to Jesus' words and let those words make the deep impression on you. What words that Jesus has spoken in the Sermon on the Mount have you been listening to? Now, I realize that if you've been here for this whole sermon series, we started, I think, in January going through the Sermon on the Mount, and I don't expect you to remember every sermon you've heard since January. But I do expect if you've heard the word and you've thought about it and you read it, it has impacted the way you think and the way you live. Because that's what the truth does. It's kind of like eating. I don't remember everything I've eaten this week, but because I've eaten meals all week long, I've been healthy, I've had energy, I've had strength. It has helped me, even though I can't remember all the details of every bit of it. And reading the Bible and hearing the Bible preached, it's like that. You may not remember every detail of everything you've heard, but you're being influenced and impacted by Jesus' words. So what of Jesus' words have you listened to? If you're hearing sermons and you're reading the Bible, maybe you're listening to other sermons at home, online, or other places. What is it that you're hearing? What is it that's sinking into you? You know, as you go to read your Bible, you ought to come with the idea that you want to understand more about God and understand more about what He expects of you. When you come to hear a sermon, you ought to come to say, what is it God wants me to hear today? What is it that I need to do? How is it that I need to grow either in my praise of Him? What is it that I need to get strength from? Come looking to listen. Look to hear what Jesus is saying. You know, a whole lot of growing as a Christian involves good listening. Not just listening to me. That's not what I'm talking about. Listening to God's words, whether it's preached or whether we're reading it, or whether we're listening to our phone read it to us, we're practicing hearing and understanding what Jesus says. So the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus begins with the blessed attitudes. He's talking about the kind of character His people are. So this sermon is addressed to a whole crowd on a hillside, including Jesus' disciples, including people who are curious, and including probably some people who are looking to find fault. That's kind of the makeup of every crowd anyways. There's people interested and people interested in finding a problem with what's going on. And so those people are there. And Jesus is laying out the kind of person that's His kind of person. The kind of person that belongs to His kingdom. And He immediately begins with these blessed attitudes that describe a humility of heart towards God. Before God is concerned about what you do for Him, He's concerned about who you are. And if you're the right kind of person, then Jesus goes on to say you'll be salt and light. And what our world needs right now is it needs the right kind of people to have the right kind of influence on those around them. People that are people of faith, that are people of hope, that are people of love, that impact the world around them. And then Jesus talks about the law and how he came to fulfill it. He didn't come to find ways to get around its requirements like some of the Pharisees had done. He came to fulfill it completely, to be honest with it. He talks about loving your neighbor. He talks about your religious works, on whether you're doing them to be seen of others or to be seen of God. So all of these things Jesus is saying, are we listening? Are we listening to him? But Jesus' words, or Jesus' final story here, is not actually emphasizing listening. Because if you look with me back in our text in Matthew 7, he says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man. And then if you go down to verse 26, he says, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man. Do you see how they're both people that hear? They're both people that listen. The kind of people that Jesus says are wise and foolish is actually not determined by who's at church and who's not at church. That's not what Jesus says is the difference. The difference isn't the listening. Here's the second thing, and the most important of the two that Jesus gives us. He says it's the person who does them. The blessed person listens, yes, but he does more than that. The blessed person submits to those words. You know, when we, sometimes when we give our kids instructions, we tell them what to do. And when they were very little, Lindsay and I used to have to say to them, now, what did I just say to you? You know, we want to see if they actually heard us, because they could be, oh, he still does that? Okay. When you talk to your kids and they're little and you tell them something, they can be looking straight at you and thinking about toys or thinking about anything in the world, thinking about how they have to go to the potty or who knows what they're thinking. So the only way to find out is to say, okay, now what is it you're supposed to do? And have them repeat it back to you. But here's what I found with my kids, even though they could repeat back what I told them to do, that did not mean they heard me, because they would immediately walk away and easily get distracted. You know, it's like squirrel. Oh, and they run off and forget all about what they just heard and what they just repeated back. They knew it, but they didn't do it. And I think kids grow up and are still kids. And we tend to do the same things. We hear, we understand, we know, but for whatever reason, we don't do it. And that's where Jesus is speaking directly to you today. He's speaking to people that hear, that are understand. You might even be taking notes. You might even be able to say, oh, I know exactly what this message is about. I could repeat it back to you. Yes, then Jesus' story is directed right at you, the person who hears. And he says the blessed one is not the one that just hears and gets it. It's the one that does it. Such a huge, huge difference. It's not enough to be convinced Jesus' words are important. All the people on the hillside here realized it was significant that they would hear this teacher. It's not enough to think Jesus is special. It's not enough to give him some type of reverence. It's not enough to give him some money or to give some kind of ritual that you do for him. No, Jesus is concerned that you would hear and submit yourself to what he's saying. Now, when Jesus did this, he's making a really, really, really big claim. And I don't want you to miss it. This story that Jesus told is actually not one he made up. I don't know if he was copying somebody else or not, but in the Jewish Talmud, which is the recording of the writings of the rabbis, there's a story from an old Jewish rabbi that sounds almost exactly like this. It's a story about a house built on the sand, and he says the one that builds his house on the sand is like someone who hears the words of the law but does not do the words of the law. Now, that sounds very similar, but if you're listening carefully, what's the difference? The rabbi said it's like someone who hears the words of the law and doesn't do them. But Jesus says it's someone who hears my words and doesn't do them. Do you see the difference there? It's one thing for me. I can say to you, I can say, if you want to be blessed, do the words of the Bible. But it'd be an entirely different thing for me to say, if you want to be blessed, do what I tell you. Do you see that? I just became a cult leader if I said that. I just elevated myself to be God's spokesman that you must listen to. But I'm only God's spokesman in the sense that I'm telling you what God's saying here. I don't have any unique authority myself. My authority is the Word of God. I mean, that's what our church is built on, that the Scripture is our authority. But Jesus says, listen to my words. That's because Jesus is the author of the Scripture. He's making a direct claim here to be the kind of authority that God is. He is making a claim to deity because he is. Jesus is God. He's God the Son. He has every right to say, look, no matter whose voice is crying out to you, mine is the most important. And if you don't listen to me, you are going to face ruin and eternal judgment. Obedience to Jesus' words are the test here. Hearing is no substitute. How many of you like books? Anybody like books besides me and my family? All right, there's more like books. How many of you have books at home that you haven't read? Just be honest, there's no shame. It's all of us, all right? There's books at home we haven't read. How many of you have lots of books that you haven't read? All right, there's still more hands there. Lots of books. Why do we do that? It's a good question, isn't it? I read this thing about how some people are collectors instead of doers. And I'm not trying to make you look bad if you raise your hand. I have my hand raised up too. Collecting lots of books, like someday I'm going to read them. Or there's all this stuff in there I want to learn, so I'm going to collect it all. And somehow it just makes me feel a little smarter to have a lot of books, right? And you look on the shelf and be like, wow, look at all the stuff this person is interested in. But if they're just sitting on the shelf, it's just a facade, right? I mean, you've got to actually take one down and open it up and read it and get into it to get any benefit out of it other than a decoration for your room. Which, hey, you could have lots of worse decorations on your wall. But the value of the book, the reason it was written, was not to be a display piece on the wall. It was written for the information that was in there to get into other people's heads. And if we do this with the Bible, we just collect lots of Bibles. You know, we're always looking for the next Bible that's printed and formatted just the way we want it. You know, we got to get the art journaling Bible or the big print Bible. Or if I just found the translation that I really liked, and we end up with a shelf of multiple Bibles, multiple translations, multiple study Bibles. And then we buy books about the Bible and we collect all this info. Jesus says none of that's doing you any good. It is far better to hear Jesus' words in this sermon and soak it in and let it shape your life than to have a shelf full of books about the Bible. It's not enough to collect information or to gather things. You know, you want to work on your marriage, so you go in the bookstore and you buy a marriage book. Or you go online and you bookmark a whole bunch of sites that talk about marriage. None of that is helpful unless you do something with it. And Jesus' story here is just meant to draw very vividly to our attention. If we want blessing from his words, then we need to act on them. We need to act on them. What is it right now, in this moment, that you know Jesus wants you to act on, but you haven't? Or maybe it's something you know he wants you to act on and you tried but faltered at it. You didn't do it like you wanted to. What is it? Think about it right now. What is it that you know God wants you to do, but you're not doing or you're doing poorly? Right now, Jesus is saying, look, this is the path to blessing. It is to hear and do my words. Now, whatever it is that is on your mind that you know, you need to talk to the Lord about it. It could be a bunch of different things. You could be sitting here and you could be thinking, well, I don't know that I really have a personal relationship with Jesus. I come to church. I even have a Bible. I listen to it, but I don't know that my heart is changed where I have really come to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Well, you need to respond to him right now. You need to just confess to him. You need to acknowledge that you need to turn your heart to him. And you can do that. You can do that right where you're at. You can do it without even making a scene for anybody else. You can call out to God and you can confess that you need him to save you and to change you and to believe that he'll do that. There's a great promise in Scripture that whoever comes to Jesus will not be turned away. The ones that believe leave with everlasting life. The ones that receive him become his children. Whoever is the one that calls on him will be heard. There's so many promises in Scripture. You can come to him and receive everlasting life. But I trust that most of us who are hearing this message this morning, you understand what it means to be a Christian. If you have questions or doubts, there's no shame in that. And I would love to talk to you and help you to get rid of those questions or doubts. But if you're here and you know you're a Christian already, there are things we all know that we need to do and we need to grow in. How do we start making steps towards that? Well, we start by just confessing and acknowledging. Lord, I know you want me to do this, and it's hard for me to do, or I don't want to do it, or I don't feel like doing it. You know, even if that's your attitude, you can come to him and you can confess that. This is wrong for me to look at your words and say I don't want to do it. It's wrong for me to know you want me to do something and fail to do it. Come admit that to God. Come confess that to him. There's no substitute for just hearing and doing what Jesus says. And notice how he describes the foolish man's house. It says in verse 27, the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, just like the other house. But then it says, and it fell, and great was its fall. Jesus wants to make clear here, this wasn't just that the house had a little bit of shakiness in it and it needed to be patched up after the storm. Great was its fall. It was a total loss. It was a disaster. And that is what becomes of people who reject Jesus' words. They may hear them. They may admire them. They may like them. They may think highly of them. But if they don't respond to it, there's a great fall. Notice how the people respond. Verse 28 and 29 gives us the response of the crowd to Jesus' sermon. It's no longer Jesus' words. It's just the narrator telling us what happened. It says, and so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So notice they're astonished and they recognize Jesus' authority. He's not appealing to any other authority. He is asserting his authority. The people recognize that. But what does Matthew not say the people did? He doesn't say anything about people obeying Jesus' words. He doesn't say anything about people following Jesus' words. He just says they're astonished. They're amazed. And if you follow along with Jesus' words, you would be astonished. Because Jesus doesn't say, if you want to be in my kingdom, make sure you're praying enough. He doesn't say, if you want to be in my kingdom, make sure you give enough money. He doesn't give them a list of things to do. In fact, instead of lifting people up, he begins with breaking them down by saying the very first step, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This is the broken-hearted ones. Those are my people. And this is astonishing. Jesus doesn't come lifting people up. He comes saying, if you want to have a right relationship with God, you start from a place of humility. You start from a place of brokenness. You start from a place of neediness. You need a Savior. You need someone to rescue you. You need someone to change you. And now Jesus at the very end is saying, I am that one. If you hear and do what I'm saying. Again, what is he saying to do? Not some religious activity. He's saying to humble their hearts before God. He's saying to be broken before him, to hunger and thirst after his righteousness, to hunger after his mercy. The people were astonished. They understood. But from Matthew's description here, it seems that truly the way is narrow. Because there's no description of a mass of people following him and obeying him after this. I want to read to you just one verse of scripture to close this out. It's from the book of James, which if you read the Sermon on the Mount and then you go read the book of James, it's almost like James is taking some of these themes that Jesus has spoken about in the Sermon on the Mount, and he's talking about them more. And here's what he says in James 1:22. He says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Now, James is saying basically the same thing Jesus said. Don't just hear, be a doer. But he adds two words at the end. Deceiving yourselves. If you hear lots of the truth, and you understand lots of the truth, and you know lots of the truth, then you can feel very spiritual. But having Bible knowledge does not make you spiritual. Having information doesn't make you spiritual. What it does is it deceives you if you have a lot of knowledge, but you don't act on it. And so James admonishes us, just like Jesus does, being his kind of person, being the blessed person, isn't just about having all the knowledge, attending all the sermons, sitting in all the messages, having all the Bible books and Christian books. It's about acting on what you know God is calling you to do. So let's bow our heads right now before the Lord and let's act on what God is calling us to do. So before I lead us all in prayer, I'd like you just to bow your head and close your eyes. And you think, what is it that God wants me to do or to be that I'm not doing? What is it he wants to change in my heart? And talk to him about that right now. Ask him to help you not just be a hearer, but to be a doer. Look to him for strength to change and be different. Let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you so much for giving us such a clear and vivid picture of what a blessed life looks like. God, we pray that as your people, you would help us to shape our thinking about what it truly is to live a good life. And it is to be someone that is in a right relationship with you. And Lord, we know that starts with humility. We come to you and we recognize we desperately need a Savior. But we praise you. We praise you because your great love and mercy was put on display in sending your own Son to die for our sins, to pay our penalty, and then to rescue us. To rescue us from sin and to put us into your family, your kingdom, where we can be made into your image. God, we thank you for this great mercy. I pray if there's anyone here today who does not know this peace that comes through turning to you in faith, I pray that today they might respond to you. They might come humbly. They might come needy. They might come hopeful, believing your promises that you will forgive and you will change. And God, I pray for every Christian here. It's so easy for us to listen to all the other voices and have your voice be drowned out. So God, I pray that our church, that our lives, Lord, might reflect a people that listen to you, that allow your words to shape our thinking, our understanding, our decisions and actions, so that we wouldn't just hear you, but we would obey you. And Lord, we could truly be salt and light to this world. We could have a profound influence for you and for your glory by being the kind of people you've called us to be. Lord, help us. Help us to not forget, not let these words pass out of our minds, but to be impressed on us so much that we desperately need to hear and do what you say. God, I pray that you'd help us not just to be collectors of your words and of sermons, but to be doers of them, that we would act on what you've called us to do. And God, even while we pray this, we know that there are many times we've tried to do what's right and we've faltered and failed and been discouraged. But Lord, we come to you seeking forgiveness, and we come to you seeking strength. Lord, that you would help us to rise up again and not give up on pursuing you and your words in our lives. Lord, we pray that you might help us as a church to be a community that strengthens and holds up one another and prays for one another and encourages each other to keep pressing on to be the people that you want us to be. And Lord, we pray these things today with great hope and great confidence that you will hear and you will answer. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen.